O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Please repeat. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Nrisimhadev kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamcha yovyabhi charena bhakti yogina sevati sadhinam samatita itan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world and has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamo-guna. Because Prahlad Maharaj was situated on the spiritual platform, he had nothing to do with his body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. The symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2:19 as lust and hankering. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha daya shreye. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. But because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even in this life. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter but are spiritualized. Srila Madhvacharya remarks that the goddess of fortune, the mother of the universe, could not get mercy similar to that which was offered to Prahlad Maharaj. For although the goddess of fortune is always a constant companion of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is more inclined to his devotees. In other words, devotional service is so great that when it is offered even by those born in low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable than the service offered by the goddess of fortune. Lord Brahma, King Indra, and the other demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in the lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. Parata svata karmata, as he acts himself, as he is instructed by others, or as he performs his material activities, he enjoys life in every respect. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses, which are mentioned in the Brahma Tarka. will not translate it. They read Shri Brahma Brahmi Vindradi Trikatat Sri Purustuta Tat Anjecha Kramadeva Sada Muktau Smito Api Hari Bhakto Chuttaj Jnani Sukicha Niyamina Tu Parataswata Karma Tova Nakatan Chitta Danyata. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Om Jnana Tinandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Anjukavat Vyastra Kripa Sindhu Veva Chapatita Anam Bhavane Vyavashna Vyo Namo Namaha. So, as we've been reading these prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, and everyone has seen his exalted character, we are all appreciating what is real Vaishnavism, and as you say in English, it is a tall order. It is upon ourselves to represent this Vaishnavism, and it is a great responsibility, because it is the biggest, the greatest thing that has been given to humanity, humankind. The best thing in this world is Vaishnavism. And in this Western world, it is our society for Krishna consciousness that is representing it. It is something very important. Actually, we should appreciate this, how we are the only ones representing this Vaishnavism. And everyone, all the people in this Western world are depending on this presentation. So, we are representing devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Now I remember, actually I wrote so many things, and now I remember a verse. But I didn't check up. I don't know if you remember Pushkar the Sanskrit in the Bhagavatam in third canto. And this during the story of the Kumaras, when the giant Vijay were being cursed, probably Nirantara, someone else also can remember. There is a verse, I believe it's there, where someone said, Yomam Sarveshu Bhuti Ishu, can't remember the Sanskrit, where it is explained that one, that a servant should be very careful in discharging his activities, because any fault he commits is going to be blamed to his master. There's an example that took me personally a while to understand. Just like a spot of white leprosy contaminates the whole body. You know that verse? Alright. Anyway, so this verse says that, and it is very important for us, that we are representing such exalted personalities. So it is a very great task upon ourselves. And if we do not do it properly, the obvious meaning is that the whole, our whole philosophy and all these acharyas will be blamed, or are just going to be neglected, or even derided. So, here it is given this example of how, no matter how low-born one is, Krishna accepts his service, the service given by a low-born person, because it's devotional service. He accepts it in a higher position than that of Not even Lakshmi can render this service. So he sees it like that. It is his prerogative to put his devotee in that position. And this Vaishnavism that we are representing, it is full of qualities. The Vaishnava behavior, it's full of qualities. And one word that we find here, anukampa, which is translated here as causeless mercy. In this last few days, we've been reading 6th chapter of Madhya Lila, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's liberation. And after being instructed by Mahaprabhu, he quoted a verse, and a very famous verse, that has this same word. Tatanukampa susamikshamano. Bhunjane vatma kritam vipakam. In this verse, anukampa, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, it is also translated as compassion. And here is causeless mercy. And it reminded me of this verse, Tatanukampa susamikshamano, which describes what is the attitude of a devotee. So there is one of the qualities we need to follow and we need to show example of. Tatanukampa susamikshamano is that, it is also mentioned in 10th canto when Mother Yashoda, this verse is quoted in 10th canto when Mother Yashoda didn't understand the universal form, she was perplexed. So in Bhagavatam it is mentioned that sometimes devotees are perplexed. Associates of the Lord are perplexed. Devotees, associates of the Lord. No one is omniscient as Krishna. So sometimes this happens. And in that condition, what to speak of ourselves being perplexed? The devotee, he just prays to the Lord and surrenders unto him and just tries to continue doing his duties as much as possible. But he doesn't blame. And he doesn't complain. He doesn't blame the Lord. This is very difficult for us. We've been trained from the beginning of our lives to compete. And all this Western civilization, and actually the material world itself, our being in this material world, means that we want to take so much care of ourselves. And this is like a very important thing in the material world. The whole civilization is based on this. And it is the greatest incentive, the greatest impulse to perform activities is that you're trying to get something for yourself. For yourself. One is trying to get something for oneself. So this is, this moves the person forward. He's very much interested in moving forward because he has this incentive of and this is where Prabhupada utilizes this word, very rarely used in English, furtive. In some dictionaries you can't even find it. Furtive activities, which means that we are moving in this material world to do something just because there is this taste, this fruit we're going to obtain for ourselves, this egoistic tendency is there, and this is being injected in us since our very childhood. How to compete in this way to get the most for yourself, how to try, especially in this American society, this is very much shown in the executive fields, how everybody is striving so much to be the first, to be ahead, like that, to knock other people down and come up above. And this same thing that is an incentive in material life, it is the greatest obstacle in spiritual life. This has to be kicked off completely. So this tendency to look for our own things is not very appreciated, although we may still, some of us may still have it so much into our system, as you say. It is not very much appreciated in devotional life, and it is a great disease It has to be kicked out. And one symptom of this disease, which is very much becomes very much apparent when we read this verse, Tatenu kampam susamichamano, it is very disturbing to us, this idea that we have to accept suffering mildly, willingly, voluntarily. This is something very disgusting to the material mentality. Just like they criticize so much the tendency in India, and Prabhupada said because of that tendency, the people, they criticize very much India, as we all know, because they have this passive kind of attitude. And Prabhupada said that this was very much utilized by the British people, because what the attitude of the Hindus is that they, in general, or it was at least, this is pointed out by Prabhupada, is not to complain. What to speak, we're not even speaking of pure devotees or devotees engaged directly in devotional service, but in general, this is so much there, this mood of not complaining, of not blaming anyone. This is so much there that Indian people, Prabhupada was saying, they just accept whatever. If there is food, they will eat. If there is not, then they don't protest. They were not protesting. And like that, they have this as very much part of their culture, not to complain so much. So we are completely on the contrary, on the opposite side. Especially coming from South America, I've seen this so much. But it's been now all over the world, so much complaint. And we, in our movement, this is one of the things, personally, we should strive for. Not to be so much concerned with myself. This is actually the whole trouble. Our greatest enemy, as the Gita points out, is our own mind. This is our first source of trouble in this material world. Adhyatmika klesha. All these miseries coming from oneself. And this is very much in our movement. And we see so many devotees, so many of us, all of us, we've had this at one point or another, and it just reveals a neophyte stage in which some of us are still. And that is that thinking so much of I want this, I want that, I feel like this, I don't feel like that, why am I feeling? And we immerse ourselves so much in this self-consciousness, in this thinking of what we want. And this is very disturbing for us when we're not getting what we want. So examples like Prahlad Maharaj and other Vaishnavas coming down up to Srila Prabhupada and some of our God brothers, this example is there not to be so much interested in ourselves, in what we want. That unlike the materialists, that their whole existence is being based in how they are pleased, the devotee gets his pleasure by forgetting about himself. This is the success. We are trying to be successful in Krishna consciousness. And the success is how much I can really come to realize how fallen I am. This is Tate Nukampam Su Samikshamano. This is the mood of that verse, Anukampa. This Anukampa, causeless mercy, in this verse, although I can't remember the line, Tate Nukampam Su Samikshamano, there is a word, Dayabak. It is very interesting. This Dayabak is translated in that Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, but it's chapter 14, so we still don't have it. So in the word for word in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's presentation, there it's translated as a bona fide candidate. But in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada also mentioned, I didn't know what it came from this verse, Prabhupada mentions this word, Dayabhak. And he mentions it as the translation as a lawful inheritor of the property of the father. It seems it's a word used in the legal field. Dayabhak, a lawful inheritor. So either you see it one way or the other, a bona fide candidate. This mood of complete neglect of yourself and of complete submission to Krishna's will, which you understand by the circumstances. This is what makes one a lawful inheritor. This is what makes one a proper recipient of the causeless mercy of the Lord. And this is actually what we want to receive. The point is, this was also presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yugayitam nimishina chakshusha pravishayitam sunjayitam jagat sarvan govinda virahename. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was presenting in this verse how he doesn't mind that Krishna treat him roughly. And we can see it, the understanding of this, is that whenever he sees rough treatment, he understands that everything is coming from Krishna, the devotee, pure devotee, is understanding that one way or the other, this is because of my past activities. So everything is coming from Krishna. So therefore, Mahaprabhu says, this rough treatment is actually a rough embrace. He is seeing it, that he is being embraced by the Lord too strongly. So this is very difficult, that although it is, we can sit here, myself, and be speaking about this. When the test comes, and there is where we have proven, and that test is suffering. In sixth canto, a few verses before that famous verse, Narayana Paro Sarve, Nakutashtana Bibhyati, Prabhupada explains that suffering, that this suffering is another process of purification. So we should, in our philosophy, as a personal thing, we welcome suffering. This is one of the things we should endeavor for, to be able to understand this suffering as a blessing, as a moment to show or to see how much we have advanced in this Krishna consciousness by putting it aside, by not letting it disturb our main goal, which is to fulfill the orders of our spiritual master and realize and perform the devotional service. Just as we deal with an offense, we should deal with this thing of being disturbed by others. That is, that when we see an offense being done to ourselves, we are told that it is not very important. We should not take it very seriously. But when we see an offense being done to Krishna or his devotees, when we see something like that, then when it's an offense done to devotional service, then we immediately have to react. So it is a very gray area sometimes when we should react to something external, when we should react, and that is, although it is a symptom of false ego that you react just for your sake, on the other hand, it will be a symptom of causeless mercy. Actually, it will actually be your mercy, our mercy, that when we see something Vaishnavism misrepresented, we should correct it for the sake of others. This Vaishnavism is the only solution for humanity at large. And just when it is properly presented, it will act in a proper way. It will have its full potency. And it is based in the lives, this Vaishnavism, people will take to it the most as much as we can have it fully exposed here in our midst, in our relationships. This is another thing very important. That the next thing Prahlad Maharaj has been showing is, on the one hand, he has shown this example of not complaining, but even praising the Lord and thinking that he is deserving all this mistreatment, all this suffering. On the other hand, he is seeing always so many other devotees, he's speaking of so many other devotees that he feels are better than himself. This is his vision. So, when we read this, we think, so where is that devotee that we have to serve? The mood, we are told over and over, we are trying to become a menial servant. That's another quality of the Vaishnavas. And this is also very much a disgusting thing in this Western world. But we have to definitely become a servant. And the question is, a servant to whom? And our ego tells us we always are trying to look for a higher personality to serve. But when that is there, the funny thing is we can't see anyone as higher. When we are so interested just looking for a higher personality to serve, many often it's just because we think there is no one higher. No one is deserving of our service. No one deserves it. So we have to take on this attitude of serving the Vaishnavas. Sriman Mahaprabhu, I remember, he was telling Sanatana Goswami his vision of devotees. He was the highest, Sriman Mahaprabhu. But we don't see in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's so much discrimination. That this is a devotee of the highest order, I should serve this one, he's not deserving of my service. The whole mood amongst the devotees, this is what will create a nice atmosphere in the temple that will attract the people. This is the real thing we have to present. How we want to serve everyone. So that verse, Achno palam todrisha darshanam hi, tanor palam todrisha gatra sangha, jiva palam todrisha, Kirtanam hi sudur rabha bhagavata hri loke. Mahaprabhu was saying that the perfection of all the senses, it begins with the eyes. Right? The perfection of the eyes is to see you, he's telling the devotee. And the perfection of the touch is to touch you. The perfection of the jiva, of the tongue, is to chant your glories. Because it is so rare to find a pure devotee of the Lord like yourself. So we get clinched on this word, pure devotee, so much that we think, you know, where is that pure devotee? I can't see him. So no one else has to get this service. In this purport, this example that Prabhupada gives over and over is again presented. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter but are spiritualized. So we should not be so much concerned in that who is deserving of our service. But we should always develop this mood. I'm speaking to myself. How everybody is, every Vaishnava. What to speak of every Vaishnava? There are just three mentalities we understand in Vaishnavism. Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttama. And Kanishta we have to overcome. This is not an example for us. So that we don't see what is not important. What is the mentality in Kanishta? This is not what we are to follow. And then we have Madhyam and Uttama. Uttama Adhikari. This we should follow for one example. And his idea is that everybody is engaged in the service of the Lord except for one great rascal. Me. That is his vision. that everybody is engaged properly in the service of the Lord. So everybody for him is worshipable. And then Madian, he makes some discrimination, but the only ones he rejects, as our understanding of what Madian is, he just rejects atheists and demons. And even that, in Bhagavad Gita 3.29, Krishna is advising not to approach certain people, atheists, demons, or also ignorant people. And nevertheless, of course, it's mainly directed to ignorant people, but amongst the ignorant, you can't tell who is who in the beginning. You have to wait and see the reaction. We've had many experiences on how thinking someone is not deserving of devotion, of being preached to, and later on he may become the greatest devotee. So in 329 in the purport, Prabhupada says how the devotee is more kind, something people cannot understand, that the devotee is more kind than the Lord himself, because he understands the purpose of the Lord. So he even he approaches anyone and everyone. So there is no question for so much discrimination on who is who in general, especially for our service. There is discrimination to see who we have to associate with. In third canto, this is said by Prabhupada, that some Vaishnavas may be in a lower mode of devotional service, so we may not want to follow their example or associate so much with them because of their attitude, how they're always very morose and very angry. They're angry, the mode of anger. So we may not want to associate very much. But as far as rendering service, there should be, I see this especially here in America, it is very difficult to adopt this mood of service. Like for example in the temple, there are so many instances that it requires that one devotee serve the other devotees. And it is so difficult, the tendency is not there. So many things have changed. Probably it's not only in America, but it's just a mood that has contaminated. Like in this material world, the bad apple contaminates the good ones, and not that a good apple turns the bad ones into good ones. So sometimes it happens like that, that although this is the spiritual world, we tend to bring all this rubbish we've been taught, and then all these competitive attitudes and the competitive tendency of the material world. And it is very difficult. I remember in 1976, I came for 1 month to perform some service here in New York. And they used to have a posted list outside. I like always to tell this to the devotees. Now it's something unbelievable. Pushkar may remember this. There was a list outside. The board was right here behind the sign, the front sign, and there was a board, devotee board, and they used to post a huge list where devotees had to sign up for artics. They just went there. It was just a very informal way of doing it, and they signed up for artics, for example, for Mongol artic and, you know, the rest of the artics. And it was, and then the pujaris, they had to select who was going to, because there were so many people signing up, that they had to select who was going to do it. And then the competition was, you know, try to get your name there and try to get yourself to do the art. It was really incredible. It was very tight competition. And you may not believe this, but I had the experience myself. When I used to, I got the opportunity to perform some artics. So I was coming 5 minutes before the artic to the pujari room, as always, you know, we come there to the room. And there were two or three people, brahmachari, some of them, crossing their fingers that, for example, myself, I had been sick, you see. They were there crossing their fingers. It is a true story. I know it may sound fairy tale these days, but it is a true story. And those of you who were living here at that time may remember those were the days. That people were like that, competing just to do an artic. And the tendency, like when the flames were going to be passed to the devotees, there were, you know, like two or three devotees trying to, you know, going to get it. It is actually very strange that we have to speak of these things. We see things coming off the altar or of Prabhupada's puja, which we believe are such purified things, and we are blessed.
But after some years, we've received so much drops of water that we think we have enough. Or we've heated our fingers so much and take it to our foreheads that, you know, we've had enough mercy. It's not such something so important anymore. So this is why we understand why in Bhagavatam, like all these verses of Prahlad Maharaj, to a mundaner may seem that they're saying the same thing over and over. And definitely we need it. This is the our process, is that over and over we need to be told, and we need to do things, we need to practice. The way we will advance in this devotional service is by every day doing the same thing, just insisting in all these things that may be very basic. Otherwise there will be no question of advancing. If these basic principles, just like, you know, you want to see, of course we want to see a full devotee able to do everything. Mainly it is very admirable when we can see someone presenting very nicely the philosophy. This is very encouraging. But one thing we probably need the most, which, because we always know like that, example is talks stronger than precept. So we want to see these dealings amongst devotees. We want to see the devotees, some devotee that we can take example of behavior. This is so much needed, of Vaishnav behavior. We don't need this competitive behavior that we see every day in the karmic world, and there is ample example. This we reject. And what we need is this humble attitude, and even if we don't feel it, we have to act externally like that, because that is what the life in the temple should be. Anyway, is there any further comment you would like to add? Yes.
Sometimes we see that this facility for reaction also becomes facility for action. Thinking that all of this will be my service and everything will come. This we see like this one difference between, say, like in India. We give an example how people just accept whatever comes along, and they think that also whatever comes is my destiny. So that way they don't work to so much to try to achieve something. So we have Prabhupada's example how he didn't simply say, my movement is meant to happen, I will put this work in the country. And then say, this is desire for looking at the happen. But he continued to strive. He wasn't passive, but he took action. And there was some reaction. There was some festivity. But we have to be careful of that, that we don't become passive when we take action.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My whole point, although with my, I don't know how you call this, the way I speak, half an hour, No, not actually, in bursts, Anyway, so this cutting, I have brought out the point. But the thing is, I was saying at one point, the problem is when we are reacting for ourselves, when we are reacting for the benefit of others, because this movement is wrongly presented, for example, or when something is bad for the others, The thing is that many often we are doing things for others because coincidentally we are amongst them. So the point is, Prabhupada, whatever Prabhupada did, like he was saying, we have to be aggressive. But he added, for Krishna. And so many times, we do things with this idea that it's devotional service, or it's for Krishna in the name of all these things, but it's actually, we're doing so many things just for ourselves. Prabhupada, like being Trikala Gyan, is not that he was undergoing all these troubles because in the future, I'm going to be recognized that I did so many things. And, you know, I can see if I do in this way and that way, I'm going to end up in a Vyasa-san, you know, with gold and this and that. So, the point is, he was definitely doing this because of anukampa, compassion, causeless mercy. And, you know, our tendency, unfortunately, you know, we are just trying to see how to bring our Western things into devotional service. We are all the time looking for just, you know, a way in on how to bring all this Western philosophy into devotional service, or all our bad habits. So, you know, just like, yes, what is that verse of Rupa Goswami, Yukta Vairagya, no? Someone was telling me that Yukta, that Rupa Goswami so many times must be like shutting his ears, you know, when he hears this thing of Yukta Vairagya these days, you know. And it just seems at this point, although it is very good to know Yukta Vairagya, practical renunciation, that you can use everything on the service of Krishna, I think we need a little...